And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, if you're not happy today, you're never going to be happy. Welcome to The Savage Nation. I mean, there was a conservative tsunami yesterday. From coast to coast, conservative won one election after another. And we're going to talk about that because the criminal government that we have, the government that Obama runs, and he says anyone who disagrees with him is a part of the small disgruntled group. Well, the small disgruntled groups voted across the country yesterday, and every conservative measure won, and every wackadoodle left-wing issue lost. Whether it was putting men in women's restrooms, as the crazy mayor of Houston wanted to do, or medical marijuana, people shot it down because they know it's destroying the children. People are not stupid. Huge election wins across the country amid voter sentiment fueled by Barack Obama's radical, insane, left-wing, weakling politics. Voters in Kentucky, Virginia, Ohio, Mississippi, Houston, San Francisco rejected Democratic candidates or Democrat-backed measures. And I want to focus on one easy one. The lunatic sheriff in San Francisco lost his reelection bid like 60 to 30, 68 to 32, whatever the number was. And what's interesting to me is that the Zero newspaper in San Francisco, the laughingstock that is called Willie Brown's mimeograph newspaper, because whatever he wants to mimeograph, they print, did not even mention that this idiot sheriff lost because he released a dangerous illegal alien on the street who then shot Kate Steinle and killed her in cold blood. They used every other reason as to why they threw this idiot sheriff out. Shame on you, San Francisco Chronicle. You used to be a decent newspaper. You've reduced yourself to toilet paper. You ought to be used to clean up the streets rather than to pollute the mine. Now let's go to the big scores across the country. And let's look at Kentucky. This is a huge story for two reasons. Republican victories have left the Democrats in Kentucky reeling. Now, people don't know why it happened. I know why it happened, and you haven't heard it on Rush Limbaugh yet. Nothing against Rush, but I know you didn't hear it yet. The reason Kentucky kicked the Democrats out is because of a two-word issue. Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell stabbed the voters of Kentucky in the back. He's a useless idiot. He's a lackey of Obama. And the people of Kentucky, even the Democrats, said anything but the Democrat Party. Disaster for them on Tuesday. Disaster. They lost four of the five statewide constitutional offices they held coming into the election, including the governor's office for only the second time since 1971. Now, that is because Mitch McConnell is a backstabbing SOB, and so people went to the polls who are normally Democrats in Kentucky, and they said, anyone but a Democrat. But there's a real beautiful story in here, and that is not only Bevin as the new governor, who is a neophyte. He was a long shot to win, and he's the state's first governor from Louisville in a century. But the real story is his running mate, Lieutenant Governor-elect Jeanine Hampton. She is the first black person to ever hold statewide office in Kentucky's 223-year history. Did you hear that story? It didn't make it to your local newspaper? Oh, yeah, she's a Republican, by the way. And what a background she has. If you look into her background, you'll be very proud to see. She served years in the Air Force. She is a Christian. She is a very strong conservative. And more than that, she is a good woman and a smart woman. So big Republican victories in Kentucky. Ohio rejected legal pot, which is a huge victory for sanity and a huge loss for George Soros, who has tried for years to poison the minds of America and the West. Future of marijuana in Ohio, as you know, is very clear. Legalized cannabis for medical and recreational use got knocked down, and it was a ballot initiative. What's interesting about this is a twofold interest to me. It seems to me that state and local elections run on one day, not on 30 or 40 or 50 days or 3 months, where illegal aliens get to vote as many times as they can, where criminals vote, where people vote numerous times. The national elections are so corrupt, they're useless. They're virtually useless. Barry has busted the federal election process to a point of no return. But on the state level, where people get to vote one day and that's it, we get clearer results. And the results are quite clear. And that is that the Democrats are going to be thrown out in 2016. It's as clear as a bell, unless you don't vote, or unless they steal the election again by having it counted by one of the machines in, I think it was Spain. So here we are. Those are the big stories. Here are some others. I have the summary right here on the old Savage Nation. San Francisco sheriff known for sanctuary city defense loses re-election. From coast to coast, conservatives score huge victories in off-year elections. I just told you about some of them. Latino kids blast Donald Trump, and they use dirty, filthy words. And they certainly want amnesty. And this is exactly why we can't have amnesty. Because for these low-life boys and girls to be shouting words like MF and F and D, as well as Spanish profanity, shows us why they don't belong in the country to begin with. They're going to go back to where they came from. Google.org gives $2.35 million to groups fighting for racial justice. We know what groups fighting for racial justice mean, don't you? Usually gangbangers in organizations that are opposed to police trying to control crime. But that didn't stop Google.org from paying them off, so they don't start asking about why doesn't Google pay their fair share of taxes instead of using the triple Irish and the triple Dutch methodology to avoid paying their fair share of taxes. It's the oldest game in the world, which is these liberal organizations like Google, Microsoft, fund these radical left-wing groups, street radicals like this, in order to keep them from asking, hey, wait a minute, do you pay your fair share of taxes? The answer is no, they do not. In Afghanistan, imams are risking their lives to preach birth control in mosques. I didn't know they taught birth control in mosques. That's very interesting. I had no idea. Huh, birth control in mosques. Well, I guess that's one of the reasons men have lost their legs and their lives, is so that we can teach birth control in mosques in Afghanistan. That's a good use of American troops to encourage this kind of thing in Afghanistan. Gay marriage has opened Pandora's box. Couple seeks right to marry. They hitch, they're legally father and son. That shouldn't stop them. Sexual abuse of boys. Afghanistan. Sexual abuse of boys has been resurrected after the United States toppled the Taliban. Did you know that? It's a common practice in Afghanistan for men to rape young boys. But strangely enough, raping young boys by grown men was punishable by death under Taliban rule. But after the terrorist group was overthrown by the U.S.-led invasion, the powerful, loser, degenerate perverts in Afghanistan are now raping boys again. And when our troops punched one of them in the mouth, he was thrown out of the military under Barry from Honolulu. Next story from Breitbart. Michelle Obama urges women to join the workforce instead of staying at home. That's interesting. She went to Qatar. I still can't pronounce that country. It's Qatar, it's Qatar, it's Qatar, it's Qatar. She went to Qatar in the Middle East, and First Lady Michelle Obama, I guess, needed another vacation. I guess it's getting cold in Washington. And she challenged more women in Qatar to reach their full potential of getting jobs instead of simply getting married and staying at home with the children. Well, I have a lot to say on that, but it's a family show. From BuzzPo, thousands of soldiers with disabilities were kicked out of the Army. Okay. From USA Today, a very reliable newspaper, study may have found evidence of alternate parallel universes. Well, I don't need a study to tell us there's a parallel universe. It's called liberals. They live in a parallel universe. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number, 855-400-7282. Lots of things to talk about. Let's go to WABC. Tommy's the first up. Tommy, what's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. Back in 2006, 2007 or so, Mitch McConnell, I saw this on C-SPAN, he was addressing a bunch of conservative students for a CTAC meeting, and he had admitted that years ago he was an ardent Democrat, all right? And then he said that he had gone to
We know Mitch McConnell's no good. What's your big point? He's a turncoat and a liar. What else is new?
Well, so back then he was just saying that the...
All right, thanks for the call. It's not that I'm mad at the guy. It's I don't have the patience for it. You're repeating what I said, but it's taking you longer to do it. That's all. I cut to the chase. Savage newsletter. Why are we allowing the 1% to erase our borders? That was yesterday's show, and I was quite on fire yesterday. And it was a result of doing the Alec Jones show, which has gotten a huge reaction on different sites, Facebook. Alex excites my mind because he's got such inherent rage against the machine, and he brings it out in me. And it's a different format than talk radio, which has got to be a lot more constrained than Alex has to be, by the way. So when I go on his show, I kind of let the guns start to blaze, and people love it. Today, I did a Newsmax interview, and I think that was a good one. I was more constrained, but still more on fire than I normally am on radio. It's not just because radio is a more constrained medium, which it is. It's also because it's only a 10-minute interview or a 15-minute interview as opposed to a three-hour stint. You know, a fighter goes into a fight for 12 rounds. If he throws it all out in the first round, he's going to get knocked out or run out of steam in the fourth round. And that's the same with talk radio. You have three straight hours to do. You don't blow it all in the first 8 minutes. But if you do a 10-minute interview, what I tend to do is give all the 16-inch guns a little exercise. That's all. I don't know if I want to read this yet. I'm not ready for it. It's a big day for me, and I'll tell you why. Today is the end of the ratings of the first week of the book sales, and I'm waiting patiently until the end of the show. It may come during the show to see exactly where on the New York Times bestseller list Government Zero will end up. Overall, it's sold more than most of the books. Only one book has actually outsold it. But knowing that there's an inherent bias at the New York Times, and they like to screw me as often as they possibly can until there's an outcry by the listeners, we don't really know where it's going to wind up on the list. But it's very important that I report this to you because you're the ones who went out and bought it. And you bought it in droves. Government Zero, by the way, is selling like hotcakes. It outsold a lot of people's books last week because of you, the loyal, savage audience. And I want to thank you for that. And I do know that it's going to make a big difference in this country once again, especially around holidays when people start coming over to houses and they don't really know what to talk about. You know, maybe they sit and they crack nuts on the table and they eat nuts while waiting for food. I don't know what people do. My mother used to have, I remember, walnuts on the table while people came over. So to me, the sound of a dinner party is not clinking champagne glasses. She didn't serve champagne. She served nuts, and they would sit and crack nuts until the food was ready. Hardly anyone drank in my family. It's a strange thing. I grew up in a family, nobody drank. That was the way it was those days. No one drank, nobody used drugs. On a holiday, they would take an occasional drink. That was it. Huh, what a difference a day makes, huh? Well, here we are in the Savage Nation. It's about 19 minutes after the hour. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIE. This song is dedicated to all of the victories across America, and Governor Bevin in particular, military man. I mean, he was a long shot, an underdog, military, businessman, conservative, father of nine children, four of whom are adopted from Ethiopia, and you didn't know anything about him, did you? And it just shows you that a real conservative can win on the issues. The establishment criminals are panicking today. And so because of that, because we have a victory, I'm going to talk about a very important topic, which is beards. Now, I'm going to shift gears, as I'm famous for, because only I can do it. I'm not just going to hammer the conservative victories. I was looking at a picture of myself from 1981 when I had a full beard. And I walk the streets and I see a lot of guys in their 20s have beards again. It's like suddenly it's 1965 all over again. And the Beatles music is popular. Everyone looks like a Smith brother from a cough drop box. And then I thought about the political establishment. And I said, none of them have facial hair except Hillary Clinton. How did this happen? How is it that nobody has facial hair running for office except the only woman? Of course, you don't see it because of makeup and hair and things like that. And older women can't help it. It's a hormonal thing. Guys lose hair, women gain hair, but that's a separate story. Cruz has no beard or mustache. Rubio can't yet grow one. He's too young. Who else is in there? I don't even know who else is running. Trump doesn't have a beard or a mustache. No. Who else? I don't even know who else is running. I can't remember. Christie, no beard or mustache. No. Then on the other side, the commie over there, the gray-haired commie, no beard because he looked absolutely like a revolutionary. They told him, don't look like too much like Lenin. You sound like him. Don't look like him. But I myself have had a beard since I'm 18. I wanted to talk about beards for a minute. A lot of young guys have beards. Robert has a quarter of a beard, but he grew it before it became trendy. And I want to know, young guys, why are you growing beards? It's a kind of a weird thing. Guys look like, they look like terrorists, half of them. The guys with the full beard, sometimes I know that if they're not religious, I don't know what they are. What are they growing it for? I don't know if I like beards or not. I have one, but I don't know if I even like them. I have it because I've had one since I'm 18. I grew a beard originally, since I'm talking about it, because I look very young. I graduated college at 20, and I looked 16. And I took a job teaching. I needed to look older than the seventh grade students I was teaching, so I grew a beard. I did, swear to God, that was the reason I grew a beard. I didn't inherently want one. I grew a beard. Then I kept it on, and then it became fashionable. And as things go on, then I changed it. I cut the mustache off once. I had an Amish beard. That was a real kick with my family. I remember going to a family event. They thought that I went into the candle-making business in western Pennsylvania. I've had all sorts of beards. Now I'm going from the goatee to a full beard. I don't know why. Why am I going to a full beard now? And why am I talking about beards? Well, there's a number of reasons, because I think it's a socially interesting topic. No one's calling about it, of course, but they don't know what to call about. Like, guys, why are you growing beards? Women, do you like beards or do you hate beards? It's not a big, I think it's more interesting than talking about Obama one more minute. You know, it's that simple. You talk about Obama, I can't resist this one. Here's, play clip two quickly before the sound runs out, time runs out.
I do
listen
think
to this.
That what's different this time is that particularly in the Republican Party, you have, I think, the most disgruntled or suspicious of Washington portion of the electorate that is driving.
you got it, buddy. But yeah, and with a majority, buddy. Yeah, we're the most disgruntled and suspicious, and with a majority.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. We knew where the president was born. We knew that they'd be thrown in jail if they did what Obama did. That's all. You know, I was on a Larry King show last week. It's not a big deal, okay? I mean, he's kind of a used to be. I think he's a great guy for a guy 81 years old. He's very inspiring. And he was very liberal, but as I said, not a vicious, crazy, progressive, psycho-liberal from hell. He asked questions that a liberal would ask, and he was kind of naive. Like he said, you don't believe in global warming? Notice he didn't say, you don't accept the data on global warming. He said, you don't believe. In other words, he believes. He's in L.A. What does he know? As you know, he's been behind a microphone his whole life, you know, eating a knish with Yasser Arafat and Bill Gates. What could he know about science? So I said, no, the science doesn't support it, Larry. As a matter of fact, we're entering a cooling phase. And he said, well, you have an opinion and the Pope has an opinion. I said, no, I don't have an opinion and the Pope has an opinion. The Pope is a left-wing political operative, Larry. He says, you're not a scientist. I said, Larry, do your research. I have a real PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in another field, admittedly, but I know how to read literature, Larry. And he wasn't given the background. But I got to tell you, the interview will come up on RT tonight. And I read this, that throughout his 58-year career, King has interviewed some of the most influential personality managers, including Nelson Mandela, Yasser Arafat, Bill Gates, Frank Sinatra, Hugo Chavez, Margaret Thatcher, Vladimir Putin, and every U.S. president since Richard Nixon. It's actually quite an interesting thing that he even wanted to dare have me on. I like the guy. I'm going to invite him to my house in L.A. when he comes back from London, where they're going to air the show. And maybe we'll have, I don't know what, together, something green. And it looks like he's in good shape, probably eats garlic or something. I said, so what do you owe your longevity, Larry? Is it the women or the, I got a laugh out of him. What a guy, 81 years old, he's got all his, well, teeth. He's in good shape, he's very inspiring. RT, it's interesting that they hired him, though. Russian television hired Larry King. I don't get that. They hired him to save the network. I don't know what that is. Russian television hired him? Why? I mean, he's a liberal, but Russia's sort of now hated by liberals. Can anyone explain that to me? Why would RT television hire an American, you know, certified liberal when liberals now hate Russia and Putin? Whatever. I can't figure it out. So we're going to be posting a picture of me from 1981 with a full beard. You're not going to believe it's the same man. And here's what I don't like about when I put up older pictures of myself on anywhere. This is the thing about it. The whole thing, if I do the math, this is the bad part. I say, okay, it's 2015, 1981, then I subtract. 81 to 2000. I have to do it that way. I grew up where I no abacus. The brain was the abacus. So I do 81 to 2000 and 19 and 15, blah, blah, blah. And so then that number of years now, I said, going forward, I'm not going to be here. I don't like that. I do quick arithmetic. I always won, like, quick prizes in elementary school for quick math. If I were an evil person, I would have been a gangster or a banker, or I would have worked in a hedge fund. One of the three. Either I would have been a gangster, a hipster, a puppet, a poet, a pauper, or a king. Instead, I'm a talk show host. But the thing is that I had a quick mathematical mind. I don't like doing that. You do the math. Figure it out. You think I'm going to be here? That's what I don't like. I don't like it. 81 to 2015 is a long time. Right? Just say 80 to 2015, Michael. Make it faster. That's 44 years. Isn't that right? Did I do that right? No. It's 35 years. 35 years, right. It's 35 years, less one. 34 years. Now go forward 34 years from 2015. I can't. It's impossible that I'm here at 34 years. I'm not going to live to 110 or even 100. I'm not going to make it. First of all, I never thought I'd live this long. Each day is a miracle to me. And to have this energy, I have the energy of a 25-year-old. Most 25-year-olds don't have the firepower I have, and I probably can do this with luck, and if they don't impose censorship and put me in the gulag when Barry stays in office and decides that there should be no elections because we're now Barry-centric. God forbid if that happened. I don't think it could happen. That's why I'm talking about beards. I'm trying to lighten it up a bit. Why are beards all of a sudden popular? Larry King could never have a beard. They'd be afraid of it. Most older guys don't want beards because they say it makes you look older. I remember once when my kids were very young, I'd had a beard since they were born. And I don't know, I got some bug in my head. I shaved my beard off one day, and my daughter was a little kid. She came home from school. She must have been seven. She started to scream hysterically. She wanted to call 911. She thought someone had broken into the house. Now imagine that if your father had a beard since you're born, and you're seven, you come home and there's no beard. It's not your father anymore. I grew it back. But why are beards in... Here's the thing. There was a social comment attached to this. Beards were big in the 60s when it was the counterculture. Listen to where I'm coming from. Beards were a rebellion against the Madison Avenue straight, clean-cut look. What's that show, Mad Men? None of those guys had facial hair, remember? And then as Mad Men went on, one of the young guys showed up at work with a beard. He was like the hippie from the village. And he was like, you know, against Madison Avenue, even though he feasted off it. You get the picture. So in other words, the beard at that time was a rebellion. So what's the beard today? It's a rebellion against liberalism. I'm telling you, I think that there's a huge conservative revolution going on amongst the young. And I think you're going to see it in a very short time. They know Obama is a thief and a liar and a criminal who hates America. They know he's a creep all around who lies about everything and does it just to get ahead. And he advances the rights of those who are not entitled to these rights, mainly illegal aliens and bums on the bottom of the social order, not because that they're prejudiced against, but because they just can't get anywhere because of their own problems. And they know that. And they know that they face this their whole life. So they're growing a beard. There's no other reason for it. Now, women, on the other hand, I don't know that women like beards. Some say they tickle. Then you got the problem with hygiene with a beard. You could look like a rabbi from Brooklyn with sponge cake falling out of your beard if you're not. That's not a slur. That's a well-known thing, the crumbs. And come on, stop it. You know it was a fact when you were a little kid if you were Jewish. It was always a problem. Kempt and unkempt. It's like Jack Kemp and Jack Unkempt. You know, who do you want to be, Jack Kempt or Jack Unkempt? Got to be very careful with beards. People don't understand that. As a lifetime beard... For myself, you gotta wash the thing. It's like you do your head, then you gotta do your face. It's a pain in the neck altogether. I think I'll do a baldy altogether, top and no, I don't want to do that. Then you look stark, like you think you should be in like a German techno dance club, like a creep who weighs 98 pounds because he's on heroin. Who knows? I don't like that look, that gaunt look. Why am I doing this today? Because I feel good for three reasons. One, because the book's going to be on the list somewhere. That's good. I mean, I worked so hard and you worked so hard. Two, because Republicans had a sweep across America yesterday, and maybe liberalism, the mental disorder, will be kicked into the mental hospital where it belongs in 2016. And three, because I'm actually interested in why young men are growing beards. That's all. It's an interesting social, you know. I do news views and reviews. I'm doing a beard thing. It could be done. You don't have to stick to politics every minute. transgender bathroom thing in Houston. My God, what a sick thing that is. I mean, you know, go in good health if you like to do that. Let's say you like to do it. Let's say you're a Caitlyn job, which is by, he's hedging his bet, by the way. I never touched this subject. But, okay, let's say a guy likes to dress up as a woman. It's not so unusual, by the way, but let's say that he does that. But he's not really there because he didn't go surgical. He kept his options, in other words. He kept the schmendrick. He didn't go and have it. You know what I'm saying? So he's really, you know, he's having it both ways. I mean, what is he really doing? He's an egomaniac and a psycho for that reason alone. He's only doing it for fame. That's all. Whoever really wanted to be a tranny granny? I mean, I could see if you're 16 and you have ambivalence about sexuality. All right, go for it. But at 70, you're going to become a grandmother? Did his grandmother ever want to become a man? I mean, think about that. What woman of 70 really wants? Well, let me just stop right there because I don't want to insult women. But I mean, you get the picture. It's only because he's an egomaniac and a narcissist that he wants to stay in the spotlight. You got to hand it to him. Made a lot of money on that. I think you're going to see more of it now. Maybe we'll soon have a transgendered president. I mean, that's the only thing missing on a Democrat ticket. We have Hillary Clinton, the certifiable, I don't even want to say what. You know what the nouns are. You got Bernie Sanders, street, I don't want to say what because you know what. The only thing missing is a transgendered presidential candidate on the Democrat ticket. That would round it out completely. That would even make Hillary look more normal. Bernie Sanders makes her not look like the communist she is. And a transgendered, I can't figure that one out exactly, but I think it would work for her. It wouldn't make her look like what she is. I think the word is harridan. Are you enjoying this show right now? I hope so. Let's take some calls. KSFO, San Fran. I gotta say the word right. I've called it San Francisco and San Francisco for so long, I can't even say Cisco anymore. I could say Cisco Kid. I can say St. Francis. I cannot say San Francisco. I did it. Thank you. Talk. Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, sir. I just wanted to tell you I got to see the RT interview with Larry King and yourself, and it was far and above the best interview we've ever seen on Larry's shows, and we've seen a lot of them.
Well, let me ask you, sir, how did you see it if it hasn't been posted yet? It's not yet up on RT. How did you get it?
My wife was watching cable TV. We have Xfinity, and she said, Mike, Michael Savage is on Larry King, and I watched it, and I thought you had him eating out of your hand at the end of it. The way you handled every question was so spectacular. I think you blew him away.
No, as I said, I liked Larry King, and I think he was quite surprised that he liked me. That was the thing I was trying to say, is that he's actually a very nice man and very smart. But I don't think he was ready for the level of intelligence or education that I had. And frankly, his assistants didn't do him any service by not preparing him for what my background really is. I don't think he was ready for it.
I don't think he was either, but as I said, I think he was just absolutely mesmerized by you, and that you guys have the common thread of having Russian spoken in your house as children, both being from New York, and it was just...
Yeah, and there was another thing about it, which I didn't know till I read up on Wikipedia. His father died when he was 9 years old from a heart attack, or when he was in high school, and as a result of it wrecked his life, and it threw him down another road, and he never finished school. You know, my father died when I was in college. It upset me greatly, but it made me go the other direction. I became super academic and dug my heels, and I decided to go the other way. But but we both had a father who died young, and we're both older men who have not died of heart attacks, incidentally. And we're in the most high-pressure field you could ever imagine. Next to flying a plane in combat, I would suppose. Or, let's say, engaging in combat. I mean, this is a pretty high-pressure field. You got to admit, he's 81 years old. And the thing is, he's still going strong. They threw him off CNN because he wasn't enough of a sicko, I guess. And Anderson Cooper, I guess, didn't approve of him. So they threw him off CNN. And he wound up on his feet on RT. I got to respect the guy for that.
He's fantastic.
Well, I think I'm going to rebuild his career for him. You know, I reminded him, by the way, before the show went on, I don't know if this got on the air, it's an interesting side note, as we were talking to each other, I said, Larry, you know, I was on your radio show when you did radio back in 1972 in Washington, D.C. I was touring with my book, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, and you were very heavily into health foods at that time. And I said, I remember your interview technique, Larry. I talked with you before the show about my book, and you said, I haven't read it. My interview technique is I never read books of authors until they come on the show. And he said, then I look at the book and I ask the author questions based on the cover and the jacket copy that an average person would ask if he was in a bookstore. I never forgot that because it's a fabulous interview technique, incidentally. By the way, did you ever get a copy of Government Zero anywhere? Gone with the Wind. Sounds like a setup call. It isn't. I don't know the guy. That would have been a good setup call. If I knew the guy, it would have been a nice call to just talk about the Larry King interview. But I swear on your mother's life, that was not a setup interview. I swear on your mother's life, that was not a setup. I don't know who the guy was. Oh, God, I ate spaghetti before the show. I shouldn't have done it. I'm very tense from the book tour. I'm very tense from all the shows I'm doing before the show. So I'm eating too much. I'm just gorging. It's like a nightmare. People take their anxiety out in different ways. I eat too much. That's all. I overeat. Last night, I didn't even want to go out of the house. I cooked a pound of spaghetti. I ate half a pound of spaghetti with chicken apple sausages. I drank a half a bottle of Bordeaux. You think I felt good from it? Yes, I slept like a baby. That's what I do. It sedates me. It's like a drug. I know exactly what I have to do to calm down. I know what I have to eat, which is huge carbohydrate loads. When my body, I literally collapse. It looks like all the males of my generation, my father's generation, would collapse after a meal, sit on a couch. Think of like Greeks or like Mediterraneans. If you go to their house, think of my big fat Greek wedding, even though I'm not Greek. You look at Mediterranean men of that generation. If you go to the house, let's say for a dinner party, they didn't call it a dinner party. So come over for supper or whatever. After the men ate, didn't they sit on the couch and open their belts and take the top of the pants open? Because the stomach, and they'd sit moaning. And then the mothers knew that they served them properly. As so opposite to California cuisine, where there's nothing on the plate, no one knows what they even ate. They go in, they get a bill for $300, and they ate nothing. I have to go to McDonald's on the way home. Okay, back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I just got an email from someone who says, I just watched your interview on Alex Jones. You should run for president now and quit radio. I got to tell you the song. I started today's show. I was dead tired, exhausted. The minute that sound goes off and the minute I start the show, I have so much energy. I could stay on the, I think I should be on the air 24 hours, like a cam follows me. Like take a microphone to bed and like wake up and do my dreams online and then get up and say, I just take breaks for the bathroom. It's so addictive. There is nothing more addictive, by the way, than the media. I got to tell you, once it gets in your blood, there is no escaping it. You can't leave it. There's no leaving the media. It's like another consciousness that's attached to your brain. And when you're not expressing it, you fall apart. You become exhausted. I've put it many different ways in different, by the way, in the next hour, I'm going to play a little bit of the Alex Jones interview because people are buzzing about it. And we're going to talk about beards, why men are growing beards. And some of the guys, one guy calls us men with beards are being referred to as lumber sexuals. That's very interesting. Another guy says, beards show men trying to reclaim masculinity. And the military started the trend. That's interesting. That's right, because let's say women can't grow beards. It's a definite differential. I'm a man, period. You could be gay and have a beard, but you're a man. You're definitely man. You're asserting your XY, that's all. That's simple. Here's XY. You're an XX, I'm an XY. Have a nice day. That's what it is. That's what I think. Nothing more than that. Okay, back in a minute. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation, hour number two. So I'm having a good time today. It's kind of a hiatus in the week. The book has been out a week. It's doing great. They're buying it, not like hotcakes, but it's buying it like a best-selling book. Government Zero. We'll know within the hour where it lands on the New York Times bestseller list, and I'll let you know the minute I know. But I was having some fun in the last hour, and I said, Beards. Beards are popular. Why are beards popular? It's a social phenomenon. I want to talk about it. And some callers had some great ideas. And then I went and posted a picture of myself taken in 1981 by a very famous photographer that he recently gave me. I forgot about this picture. I remember the sweater to this day. That was my Berkeley sweater because I remember something. I was at UC Berkeley working for my PhD. I had that. It was like my Berkeley professor sweater that I used to wear going over the Richmond Bridge. And what a head of hair, my God. Anyway, I had a full beard. I don't know if I like the, I don't know looking at it, like a hipster beard. So I'm looking at my Facebook comments that people are making. Some of them are very funny. I'm not going to read them all, but some of them are hilarious. Some of them look like just stuff that people would write in your high school yearbook. And some of them are nasty, you know, idiots. They just can't take anybody who's happy or famous. Guy writes, is that you when you were a red diaper doper baby? Which is funny. A woman, Harry says, grow out that beard again. Tisha says, the beard. Another guy says, the year I graduated high school. Another one says, you still look the same. Thanks, Jeff. And he says, I enjoyed you on Alex Jones yesterday. I don't know, someone that, Mike, where did them funny voices go? You would have me dying when you do the New Yorker. I don't know what that means. The man behind the voice, love your show, handsome and smart. I love your eyes. That's very touching. Someone saw my eyes. Another one says, you mean it's not Robert De Niro? Another one says, Uncle Mike, awesome and handsome. Here's an, Michael, I'd like to have a copy of the radio program of the blind young man who learned how to play instruments and his father taught him to listen to noises in the neighborhood. That was unbelievable. You know, it's funny that this man should write that, Hector Rocha. That show was I'm syndicated by Cumulus 3 years. That's 10 years ago. A guy called from New York who was blind, a musician, and he had this audience spellbound. And he said that he was blind, he was born blind or something, and his father used to sit him down in the stoop or in a chair in the street, and he learned to listen to all the sounds in the neighborhood. That's how he communicated. His ears became that sharp. I never forgot that. I thought about it the other night. Look at this comment. The after effects end of Love by the Sewer Plant. Come on, that's mean. Love. Hillary would have loved you back then. Still a hipster botanist. Nah, not anymore. I wish I were. Was. The beard reminds me of Shel Silverstein. Here's one from Macedonia, the last one. From Konstantin Isakovsky, I am speechless, Dr. Savage. Greetings from Macedonia. Okay, what can I say? Should I not have posted a picture of myself then? Beards are popular now. So I'm going to say, I had a beard before they were popular. That's all. I mean, I love the guys that have beards. I mean, we had beards too. So I figured, okay, that's what I looked like. And then what? Is there anything more to it than that? I don't know. Now, I want to do something. There is a problem with beards because you're associated at the TSA with ISIS. That's the problem. If you have a beard, they'll do a double, triple check on you. You know that. The terrorists were smart. They shaved their beards off, and they would look like Democrats. So there is a problem with that, the beard. I'm not so sure. I may have to shave it off again. But I don't fly anywhere anyway. I'd rather drive than fly. Who wants to go through that? I do once in a while. I'm on the advanced list on Southwest where you pay a few bucks and then you march through the line. Isn't it like a real big deal, $50? I don't know. They march you through a separate line. You think you're the president. You don't have to take your shoes off, your shirt off, your belt off, your neck off, your crucifix, your Jewish star, your wig. Nothing has to come off. Then they put you through the machine and it rings and you don't know why. Then they say, please take off your shoes, your belt, your hair, your wig, your glasses, and your wallet. Because it went off anyway. So what's the point? I don't know. But it's quicker in some regard. I don't like to take my shoes off at dirty airports. That's one thing. You know, sliding your socks along. You know how unhygienic that is? All right. Well, you get the picture. Well, why are men growing beards? There's a number of reasons. I think it's to assert the fact that you're a man in an overly feminized world and a metrosexual world. I think that's what it comes down to. Guys are just saying, I'm a guy. Go ahead, you grow one if you can. Make my day. Have we finished the beard topic or not? Or yes. Anyone have a good beard? Here's what I want to do. Instead of wasting your time talking about beards. I know you're getting itchy already. I hear the trigger finger ready to hit the button. I have a sixth sense in radio. It's shocking. I could tell when you're bored and ready to hit the button. I know you're ready to jump because I did beard too long and you're ready for, all you want to hear is the Republican victory in Kentucky. Why them Democrats really got their butt slammed. Yes, indeed, this shows that there's going to be a Republican sweep across the universe. Don't get so excited. Midterm elections, the minorities don't come out, the students don't come out. Okay, you know what happens. Don't worry about it. Don't count your R's before they hatch. But have a good time, if you wish. So here's what I want to do before you hit the button and run. I want to start with the Alex Jones interview because it was so good. I'm not going to play all of it. Robert, would you please begin it? Let's see if I like it. Let's hear it.
Okay, without hammering the book, I want to start with the title because it says it all. Government Zero. If we don't see President Zero invoking Government Zero, I'd like to know what it's going to take for the average moron out there. Idiot, moron, fools who have sold the country away, running around in shorts with Halloween costumes with their children on drugs and sugar. And they wonder why these SOBs with that monster tyrant leftist in the White House. This guy is the smartest leftist in the history of the world. This BS artist, Barry from Honolulu, has done more harm to the world than Marx and Lenin put together. And he gets away with it for one reason. He doesn't shout like me. Have you ever heard Barry from Honolulu scream? Never. He is the smoothest con man in the history of the world. He makes Soros look like a chump. Soros, by the way, is behind breaking all the borders of Europe. You know that. With his open society. You know, Soros is who flooded America with marijuana. You know that. Now, many people like marijuana. I think it's one of the most toxic substances in the world. It is the road to addiction. It is a gateway drug. Who has made it suddenly so friendly? 10 years ago, I fought with one of Soros's minions on my radio show. Soros was the first to fund medical marijuana initiatives in Arizona and California. And I was arguing, are you people crazy? It's a gateway drug. You're going to hook a generation on drugs. We had this argument. It's history now. Marijuana is as friendly as candy corn. Everyone thinks it's a benign herb. It is not. So what does it have to do with Soros's master plan? The man is possibly the most evil genius on the planet, in my estimation. Why does he want to break the borders of every nation on earth? What is it that they're after? What do you mean no borders? Well, listen, no borders, no language, no culture. A mass of stupid drugged humanity, easily manipulated, turned into slaves, serfs in their own country. What more do you need to know? Children on drugs, parents on alcohol, marijuana, and drugs. And then you have the puppet masters, as in The Godfather, the Peso Navantes, pulling the strings, sucking the money out of the people's pockets as they go to work like slaves in their little slave factories, thinking they're free. Remember Orwell's book? Remember that great phrase, those who rattle their chains most loudly scream, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free? As he saw what communism had wrought in Europe, socialism, he was originally a socialist. And then he saw who they really were. He saw they were monsters and dictators. Stalin, Hitler, all socialists, everyone forgets that. Very convenient to forget Hitler was a socialist. Stalin, Hitler, socialist, different sides of the coin. Now we have socialism is suddenly popular in America. How's that possible? Because the drugged morons don't even know what it is. They don't know what it has wrought. They don't know where it leads. They have no idea what it'll do to them. Now, couple that with bringing in as many Islamic fascists as you possibly can, as quickly as you can. Why? Why are they bringing in so many young men of military age into Europe, into America? What's their game plan here? Confiscation of guns. It ain't happening. We're not Australia. Australia had no Second Amendment. That's number one. I have a tape that I keep playing in my radio show from Elena Kagan when she was appointed to the Supreme Court, when she went through the fake hearing, the kangaroo fake hearing of whether she should be appointed or not. She was asked about the Second Amendment. Remember her? She's this kind of pickle saleswoman. In my day, the most she would have done is sold bloomers at Macy's. Now she's on the Supreme Court. This is right out of the Communist China playbook. Take people from the bottom and put them on the top. Take people on the top and throw them to the bottom. So Elena Kagan, when she was grilled, fake grilled, she says, where do you stand on guns? And she says, the Second Amendment is established law. The Second Amendment is established law. Well, if it's established law, how could Barry from Honolulu take your guns? There was a time not too long ago when the Democrats would never even touch God, guns, and gays. Remember that time not so long ago? But Barry from Honolulu is such a slick con artist that he's so hoodwinked the American drug addict that they actually think it's time for socialism, gun seizure, no borders, and flood America with your Muslim brethren. The people are stupid and they're drugged and they sense they could get away with it. But you know what? They're reading the tea leaves wrong. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I'm not calling for revolution. They are. Let's be very clear. I am a man of peace. It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history. And I'm not saying this for effect, nor to sell a book. I'm trying to awaken people. But look at the morons around you. Go walk in the street. At the want and at the wish to not offend people who think I'm peddling a book, I have to mention my great new book. First of all, the good news is, despite the censoring, despite no appearance on Fox News ever, zero. Fox News, conservative outlet, are you kidding me? Zero. Michael Savage officially banned. ABC, CBS, NBC banned. CNBC banned. Despite the media blackout, the audience is so loyal. We just got the news this morning. It's number two on the, Barnes & Noble bestseller list. We don't know what it'll be on the New York Times list. God knows they manipulate that one.
Savage. Well, that was it. I was really fired up. And I think that's all we'll play of that today. And I'll notify you later the minute I hear from my publisher as to where it lands on the list for this week. I've got stiff competition. I'm up against the factory, the O'Reilly factory. You know, killing Patton, killing this one. The only one missing is killing O'Reilly by him. But that's a joke. Come on, I'm not wishing him any harm. You know what a wonderful man he is. But that it would end the series. I wouldn't have any competition. In that sense, come on, don't say I'm violating. I didn't say. So I got that. Then Limbaugh put out a cartoon book. I was against that. Trump came out with a book this week. I'm against that. Massive publicity. I have no publicity but my own show. I like being a salmon swimming upstream. I've always liked to spawn my own ideas. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
The only thing that people don't believe. Someone sent me that.
Yeah, truth is the only thing that people don't believe. How do you like that one? Lies, San Francisco Chronicle, they eat it up. New York Times lies, they love it. Do I have to say the word B.O. again? How many times do I have to say the same thing? I don't think the man knows what the truth is. You know, that's what a psychopath is an individual doesn't even know when they're lying. They do it by habit. But let's not go there. You know, I'm trying to relax today. It's a swing day during the week, Wednesday. The weather turned out here on the West Coast, thank God, and was like right on time. Drought, 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 world coming to an end, Mars, die, everyone's dead, never going to rain. A storm hit the Sierras the other night, snow, they're running to ski this weekend, reservoirs are overflowing. But and then we read this morning, did you hear the story this morning? This is hilariously great. So I want to link it up on michaelsavage.com. Where is it? I hope it's up because I'm groping. The one on global warming, I don't know where they put it. We're actually going into global cooling. Not here. I can't find anything on my own website. I don't know where anything goes. Gay rape and military? No, it's not that one. Pope's liberal bent? No, it's not that one. San Fran throws out bum sheriff Murky Kami? Not that one. Here, global cooling from London Express. Decade-long ice age predicted as the sun hibernates. I love this story. First of all, I like cool weather. So I'm glad God is cooperating for my needs. No, that's not the reason. Come on. I'm just pulling your leg. Scientists claim we're in for a decade-long freeze as the sun slows down solar activity by up to 60%. A team of European researchers have unveiled a scientific model showing that the Earth is likely to experience a mini ice age from 2030 to 2040 as a result of decreased solar activity. Their findings will infuriate environmental campaigners who argue by 2030 we could be facing increased sea levels and flooding due to glacial melt at the poles. At the National Astronomy Meeting in Wales, Northumbria University Professor Valentina Zarkova said fluctuations of an 11-year cycle of solar activity the sun goes through would be responsible for a freeze, the like of which has not been experienced since the 1600s. You know, that was the mini ice age. You think of Dickens stories. Early Charles Dickens, when it was freezing in London, remember, people frozen. From 1645 to 1715, global temperatures dropped due to low solar activity, so much that the planet experienced a 70-year ice age known as the Maunder Minimum, which saw the River Thames in London completely frozen. And they say that's what's going to happen.
The researchers have now developed a double dynamo model that can better predict when the next freeze will be. And based on current cycles, they predict solar activity dwindling for 10 years from 2030. Professor Zarkova said two magnetic waves will cancel each other out in about 2030, leading to a drop in sunspots and solar flares about 60%. Well, I don't want to read anymore. You can read it yourself. Now, this is going to freak out all of the liars and thieves in the green business because there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the sun, my friends. Stop being so helio. You know, you want to be humocentric? You run the universe now? Do you realize what egotism is involved in the global warming movement? We talk about false data in order to cash in on it. That's a given. Everyone knows that. But put aside that, it's an egotism that you don't even understand how great it really is. They're not geocentric or heliocentric. They're self-centric. They think they're so important that they can control the Earth's temperature. Do you understand that part of it? The psychosis of the global warmists? They're all mentally ill and liars and thieves and criminals, in my estimation. Have a nice sunspot.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
President Trump, I just couldn't take the BS job every day. I don't know how he does it. I look at the campaign. I really don't know where he gets the energy. To put up with the vermin in the media like that and not blow up, I don't know how he does it. I don't have a temper for it. I'd blow up at him and call him what I think of him. You think I'd put up with that from CNBC? I wouldn't. You think I'd take it from Anderson Cooper? I wouldn't. I'd undercut him. I'd tell him what I think of them, and I ask him about their personal life if they get personal. They want to undercut me? I'll give it to them right in the guts. So that's why I'm not running for anything. So I love radio. You know, 3 hours a day is quite enough of campaigning for a real America. So just a few minutes. Indulge yourself. Yesterday, I said it's not all about complaining and doom and gloom. And I had 41 solutions for the government zero that we have right now. And I read 16 of them, right? I did 1 through 17. Yesterday I did 1 through 16, right? I'm not going to read them again. You can read them yourself in the back of government zero because it's in there. If you think I'm just complaining, you're wrong. So I ended with allow profiling and security investigations. And then I went into 17. Demand Congress declare war against ISIS and destroy them. ISIS claims to be a formal state. They control territory, have declared war on the United States, and have killed American citizens. This is a no-brainer. Declare war and win it decisively. The rules of engagement should go no further than what is required by the Geneva Conventions. 18. And Katzenberg, and Geffen are going to love this one. You could see why I'm banned in Hollywood and on Fox News. Why I'm not allowed on Fox News. Close all tax loopholes for Hollywood. No one's ever suggested this. Hollywood has become a fountain of anti-Americanism and has tax incentives to keep churning out the garbage it has been creating. Close them. Let them survive without the government's help. You don't know what tax advantages Katzenberg get from Obama. You have no idea what they do with that, what they do down there. 19, fund all climate science research to include the skeptics. 20, withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Because we don't know the terms of Obama's secret trade deal. 21, withdraw from NAFTA. 22, narrow the Federal Reserve's mandate to a strong dollar and stable prices. And this is one for Zuckerberg. 23, end the H-1B visa program. We have STEM workers unemployed and ready to start tomorrow. We don't need to bring in temporary help from other countries. Big business will have to pay the market rate here in the United States. Mark, end the H-1B visa programs. 24, institute a flat tax. 25, reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act. I'm not going to tell you what that is. 26, reinstate the Wall Street uptick rule. Not going to explain it. You'll have to read the book. 27, privatize the regulation of Wall Street. 28, oh, here's a good one for the lawyers. 28, institute tort reform. Institute tort reform. Let the tort lawyers go out and make an honest living. And there's a real way to do this. Frivolous lawsuits and ridiculously disproportionate awards also drive up medical costs. States should cap medical liability at $250,000 per claim. This is one thing my home state of California did right, and it worked. 29, eliminate government employee pensions. The pension is an outdated concept that never really worked. Virtually no one in the private sector is guaranteed a pension by their employer. Why should government employees receive them? Existing pensions must be renegotiated to reflect economic reality. 30, end affirmative action. 31, defund federal unemployment benefits. 32, limit welfare benefits. 33, end bulk collection of data by NASA. 34, make all state universities and colleges free speech zones. 35, defend freedom of speech against radical Islam. 36, restore freedom of religion in the military. 37, defend religious freedom in business. 38, restore religious freedom in schools. 39, defend freedom of the press. 40, oppose military exercises in our cities and towns. And that's it. That's it. 40 plans, 40 statements, 40 programs, which I call 40 actions to save America. These are the top 40 that are listed in Government Zero. For those of you looking for solutions, there you go. WVNN in Alabama. Larry, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I really appreciate you talking about the solutions to our problems, just as opposed to what our problems are. However, I think you're missing one, and that is, I agree with almost everything you just said. I think it's spot on 100%, but the problem is the people who say they're going to implement these things have been lying to us. They would not defund Obamacare. They would not stop the illegal immigration. The problem is...
In other words, we have a corrupt criminal government. Who Obama says that with those of us who see him as being corrupt and criminal, he calls us names. Did you hear what Obama said about those of us who see him for what he is and what the political establishment is? You got to play clip two again. Listen to your president. Tell me if you agree or disagree with me or him. Listen to clip two.
I do think that what's different this time is that particularly in the Republican Party, you have, I think, the most disgruntled or suspicious of Washington portion of the electorate that is driving the process. But there hasn't been, maybe because of super PACs, a winnowing down of the process.
All right, you get the picture. Anyone who opposes the liar is paranoid, disgruntled, and suspicious. Now, Stalin had a solution to that. He built slave labor camps. Barry could build re-education camps. Right now they're operating in our schools and universities and in corporations. It's called diversity training. That's a re-education program run by the fascist state. Yeah, I'm one of the disgruntled, suspicious American voters, Barry. I'm really disgruntled that a man of your low caliber could get to such a high place and not have been impeached or put in jail by now. I'm really disgruntled that Mitch McConnell gets away with what he gets away with. I'm very disgruntled that there's no opposition party. I'm really suspicious of the media, Barry, because there is no media, Barry. Yeah. Then we have Hillary's huge gaffe where she says, former president should not have to disclose criminal history. What a slip of the tongue this is. You got to listen to clip three. Listen to the slip of the tongue on the serpent in clip three.
Earlier today, I announced that as president, will take steps to ban the box. So former presidents won't have to declare their criminal history at the very start of the hiring process.
Did you hear this?
That way they'll have a chance to be seen as more than just someone who's done time. They'll have a chance to be evaluated on their skills.
Voice is like chalk on a blackboard. How can anyone vote for this creature? What does she mean, I'll take steps to ban the box? So former presidents won't have to declare their criminal history? I wonder who she was thinking of. How that slip of the tongue occurred. Wait a minute, I got a treat for you today. Yeah, I got a little treat for you. I got to see something here. Years ago, I wrote a book that didn't sell that well. It was really good, called No One Does This in the History of the World. When they have a current book, they never talk about a past book. But I'll do it. It's called The Political Zoo. I want to look up what I wrote about Hillary Clinton. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it was funny. There's a lot of stuff in it that's still funny. And then you'll find out why I'm banned on Fox News, because Bill O'Reilly is in there. Rush Limbaugh is in. Oh, my God. Larry King is in there. I hope they never saw this book. John Kerry is in there. Hold it. Let me see. Nancy Pelosi. What did I call? What's her name? Clinton? Hillary? She's got to be in here. Here it is. Page 100. Here. Page 100. George Clooney. Blando. Wascaris. No. Page 100. What I did was, because I took Hillary Clinton, I called her the limber leopard. and I gave her a Latin binomial, Peronista Manipulatus. It's funny. And the cartoons were good. I found a young lady who did wonderful cartoons, and Hillary was drawn as a leopard. It's really not insulting. It's just a little sarcastic. The limber leopard, an agile and extremely dangerous member of the cat family, is native to the Great Lakes, but adapted surprisingly well to the remote areas along Arkansas's Whitewater River. As the queen of her species, this thick-legged predator is known for her domination of the pack, and her one advantage is being able to change her spots at will. This sturdy animal is also known for the unusual processes she uses for selecting a breeding partner. Although she may appear asexual, this predatory beast has a keen eye for the alpha male of her species, or at least one that she could hector into seeming like an alpha male. Although the limber leopard tolerates the alpha's sexual waywardness, she can become entirely vicious towards any female of the species that threatens the alpha status of her mate. And then there's a few more pages about the former first lady. You can't find the book. And, wow, look how many pages I wrote. What else do I have in here? Pelosi I had. Kim Jong-il, he's already sleeping with the fishes. Jesse Jackson, Extortus Exploitus, the Reverend Vulture. Go on. Al Gore, Pumice Ignoramus. Pumice ignoramus, the most ignorant of the igneous family of rock, is a form of lava with gas bubbles in it. I'm enjoying myself, Rudy Giuliani. And no wonder he wouldn't come on the show. I didn't know I skewered him. Rudy Giuliani, New Yorker pseudo-conservatus. The Gotham Gazelle, I wrote. Okay, you could see why I don't have any friends in the media. Dianne Feinstein, Mao Zedongus. The Frisco Red Heron. This is a classic. This is a good book. Maureen Dowd, no one knows who she is. Battleaxia fossilis. Howard Dean, no one knows who he is anymore. Where is he right now running a... I imagine Howard Dean retired to Vermont and is running like a hardware store. And he wears Oshkosh B'gosh shorts. I don't know where he is. Katie Couric is no longer relevant. I don't even think she's still in business. I think she is a hairdresser somewhere on the Upper East Side. Bill Clinton, Fondlum Ungropium. Fondlum Ungropium, the celebrated Arkansas werewolf, is so entirely distinct that there is nothing or no one quite like it in captivity or in the wild. Wolf Boy, as he is sometimes... Okay, I'll stop right there. All right, I don't mean to offend anybody, because, look, it was written in good faith in a free nation. And in order to make sure people didn't take offense at it, of course, right, no one took offense. I wrote this, John Dryden in 1681, I put this as a dedication. The true end of satire is the amendment of vice by correction. And he who writes honestly is no more an enemy to the offender than the physician to the patient when he prescribes harsh remedies to an inveterate disease. John Dryden, 1681. How'd that work out for Dryden? I don't think too well. I think he wound up in the Tower of London, so far as I know. I don't really know. Now, you know what I did? I'm having too much fun. I'm waiting for my publisher to give me the results. That's what Oh, did they come in yet? Yes, I will send you the bestseller list information the minute I get it. No, not in yet. We're hanging on it every minute. Okay, so for the new version of the Political Zoo, I was going to add Ted Cruz, who I named Coffea America's Blandus, the bland American coffee bean. Ann Coulter, Screechus Righteous. Oh, God. Chris Christie, Rotundus Bridges Too Faris. the big round bridge too far. Joe Biden, Crackpotus Overbidius. Valerie Jarrett, Iranian Plantus. Mitt Romney, Nice Gaius Phallus. And finally, I was going to put a new one in for Marco Rubio, Double Talkus Ice Cream Manus. Come on. I don't know if the average guy gets this. Guys don't have the same sense of humor women. Women, I think, understand stuff like that. But guys, I try to imagine them. Like, I watch car shows at night where the guys all have these creepy beards. I don't mind a beard, by the way, getting back to the beard topic. I can't stand the beards on these guys on these car shows. They look like perverts, like felon perverts, just like on Home Relief, like given a 30 days to go weld something. Why do they have these creepy molester beards? Can anyone explain that to me? I don't mind a beard on a guy. Full beard, half beard, short beard. But what's with the creepy hair? They look like molesters to me. What is that? That look I could do without. Like a scraggly thing that runs, ugh, looks like something fell out. I don't know. There's something wrong with it. So I watch the car shows, and I say to myself, I like that they can weld and then they hit with a hammer, and they make it look straight, and they chrome, and they put a handle, and they cut, and they paint. I love it. Fabulous. I love car shows because things get done and people are, whatever, they can make guns in case there's a revolution. That's good because they can fabricate. Then Obama could ban body shops because there's metal involved. And maybe every piece of metal you buy has to go through a government agent to make sure you're not converting it to a weapon. You never know what could happen under a dictatorship. But nevertheless, I like the car show, but I don't like the beards. They're creepy. That's all. So we'll have a beard call? Here we go. Robert on WMAL on the beard call. Go ahead, Robert.
Michael, the reason why so many men are growing beards nowadays, young men, old men, is because the ladies, the women, they love it. You get all scraggly looking, and they're hitting on you left and right. I'm a married man. I got to stay clean cut. If I get scraggly, I get lazy, procrastinate for, you know, a couple of weeks, get all scraggly looking. It's like you got to find a stick to beat the women off of you.
God.
Clean cut.
I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem. I'm not into that. But the thing is, you really think that's what it is? It's sex appeal.
Exactly. And it all relates back to the prior subject you had a couple of days ago about why men are...
The cow and milk thing we can't use. A, because it's sexist, and B, because it's true. All right, you get a free copy of Government Zero back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. It is the Savage Nation. As I say, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Any minute now, we're going to find out what the ranking is for Government Zero in the first week of its sales. We already know it's number two on the Barnes & Noble bestseller list, and that's a good thing, given that I'm officially blacklisted in the media. I had wonderful exposure on the Drudge Report. God bless Matt Drudge. Newsmax. God bless Chris Ruddy. WorldNet Daily. God bless Joe Farah. And then you can count the rest of the outlets that have had me on. I mean, you got Newsmax, I said, Alex Jones, and very few others. I'm officially blacklisted because there's a media bias. They have tried me, and they have convicted me. They will not even let my ideas speak for themselves. Every time I go on a show, such as Newsmax today already, they're comparing it to Hitler already, the psychos. Right, the minute you hit them with the truth, right away it's Hitler already in the Holocaust. Every time. No matter what you say, Hitler, Holocaust, Holocaust, Hitler, Hitler, Holocaust. You know, get another tune already. We're living through a mini dictatorship. It's like the mini ice age. You're living through a mini dictatorship because you think you own the media. You don't own the media. I'm still pretty strong here on the radio. My book is a bestseller despite you left-wing bums put in office by George Soros and all the other foul money that is polluting the media landscape. So shove it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
16 of 40 points to save America. Don't assume I'm just sitting here complaining and moaning and groaning. Don't ever complain that I'm only doing that. I'm Michael Savage, the architect of a new America, all explained in Government Zero. Many of you have given up. You feel that the American people are too far gone. You feel that there's no educating them. Their minds are made up. They have no minds. Their minds are blown. They're on drugs. They're on sex. They're on rock and roll. They're on crack. They're on speed. They're on marijuana. They're on alcohol. And they just don't care. You may be right. But I am the eternal Boy Scout. And I still have hope for the future. And I believe in my heart of hearts that we are going to save this nation from these evildoers. I actually believe it. Or I wouldn't have written Government Zero, and I wouldn't get up every day and do this show. I am the architect of a new America. It's all in Government Zero. I'm very proud of the book. And I want you to understand that there are solutions. And this book belongs on your coffee table for Thanksgiving to awaken your family and your neighborhood. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Despite the media blackout, despite the blacklist, despite the Fox News boycott, you did it. You did it, you did it, you did it. The book is number 3 on the New York Times bestseller list. That means the world will see the title, and they'll learn something. They will learn that we do believe in borders, language, and culture. They will learn that we have no government of the people, by the people, and for the people. They will learn that we have a government zero, a government of itself, by itself, and for itself. That's what I mean by government zero. There's no stronger statement in the world about what has been done to us and what must be done to save us. It's that simple. Now, there's a news headline that I feel obligated to tell you I don't believe. It's being reported by CNN that U.S. authorities say that there was a bomb on the Russian plane, and it was posted on all the sites. I think it's propaganda. It says, first on CNN, U.S. officials believe ISIS planted a bomb on a Russian plane. They have no evidence to this effect. And I'm not rushing to say, oh, yeah, right, for sure, ISIS did it, go get him, Putin. No, 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 no. No, I'll tell you what I think it is. Obama's very, very insecure. And he gave a speech just the other day saying, oh, people say that I'm not that strong, that Putin's the strong one. But no, no, I'm the strong one. Remember that? And now he's ranked today as the number 3 most powerful man in the world, not number 1. This guy is so insecure that he could have had his media propagandists go out and put out the big lie that we believe ISIS planted a bomb on a Russian plane. Now, how would that help his failing ego? How? Because he thinks it weakens Putin to say, look at that, ISIS got the best of him. What do you think, it's beyond him? I mean, presidents of the past have sunk ships in order to go to war. They've invaded countries and said someone else did it. So what, he's not capable of putting out some propaganda? They own a propaganda machine unlike anything ever seen in the history of the world. Are you kidding me? In addition to the $1 billion a year they must spend on propaganda, they have all the media in their pockets. So right away they go to Barbara Starr, a very reliable source. Another grandmother that should be working in a brassiere factory. And she's reporting right away, CNN Pentagon correspondence, Barbara Starr. First on CNN, U.S. officials believe ISIS planted bomb on Russian plane. Oh, they believe it based on what? You read the story, it says, there is a definite feeling it was an explosive device planted in luggage. The official told CNN, listen to this crap. There is a definite feeling it was an explosive. Have you ever heard of government like this? You talk about government zero. How much more zero do you get than a moron in the Defense Department saying there's a definite feeling it was an explosive device? How is that for a liberal statement? How about some evidence instead of a feeling? That's like a feeling that we have global warming. There's a definite feeling that the Earth is heating up because of man's evil nature. There's a definite feeling it was an explosive device planted in luggage. The official, who is familiar with the latest U.S. intelligence, told CNN, it's propaganda, in my opinion. At least it certainly sounds like it. So where's the proof? The British government announced Wednesday that it had, quote, become concerned that the plane may well have been brought down by an explosive device. Become concerned? If we're not living in the most idiotic times in our lifetime, I'd like to know when was more idiotic than now. The British government did not detail precisely how it reached that conclusion. Are you hearing this? They came to the conclusion already that ISIS brought the plane down with a bomb. Now, it's possible that they did. But, you know, plane crashes take like months to come to conclusions of what did it. And I already know the answer already. They all got the answer. They think, they believe, they suspect. There's an inkling. They got a thrill up their leg. They suspect. They picked up the Ouija board. Are you kidding me? Give me some evidence. There's a little more here that I want to talk about. Oh, it was ISIS that brought the plane down to embarrass Putin? Really? Really? It's not possible that some other country that hates Russia could have brought the plane down in order to embarrass Putin? It's not possible. Need I spell out what I'm saying to you here? With all of the weapons that are given to rebel groups, you're telling me someone in our government could not have given a Stinger missile to one of those maniacs in the Sinai Desert and given him the coordinates of the Russian plane to bring it down in order to embarrass Putin and make him look weak? I didn't say that that's the truth. But, you know, if I'm in intelligence, this is what I analyze all the possibilities. I don't just eat what the government gives me for breakfast, because then I'll be Anderson Cooper. And I'm not Anderson Cooper.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
I don't accept anything the government media complex puts out, especially under this guy. And, all right, so the report is ISIS planted a bomb on the plane. But then you read the story, it says they suspect, they think, they feel. No evidence. They already jumped to conclusions. Why? Because the big man in the White House hates Putin because he knows Putin is a better man, loved more by the world, respected more by the world. And so the big man in the White House wants to embarrass Putin. So what does he do? He says, put out a... He goes to his intelligence agencies in between watching internet porn. And he tells them, look, put out a report that you think ISIS planted the bomb on the plane. Yes, boss. And what he thinks, what Nero thinks by doing that, is that his competitor, Putin, in his mind, his competitor, instead of his ally, will look bad in the world. That's all. That's a theory now. It has as much validity as saying they think that ISIS planted the bomb on the plane. That's all. So what do you think about this? I will ask you. Who do you think, well, not who do you think, what do you think brought that plane down, the Russian plane down over the Sinai? Do you think that ISIS planted a bomb on the plane? Do you think it was, well, I don't know. How can we know what it is? See, this is how stupid this is. The government itself says they think, they feel. Read the story, Barbara Starr. It's on CNN, for God's sakes, the most unreliable news source in the entire world. Read the story. Here, look how she couches it. The latest U.S. intelligence suggests, oh, here we go, the professors are ready. That's a word we used to use in college. Suggests, that's an Obama word. I suggest that the crash of a Russian jet in the sun was most likely caused by a bomb, according to a U.S. official unnamed. Who's the official? But the official stressed the formal conclusion has not been reached by the U.S. intelligence community. Some intelligence community is brilliant. There is a definite feeling it was an explosive device planted in luggage. The official, who is familiar with the latest U.S. intelligence, told CNN, have you ever heard anything as silly as this? There is a definite feeling it was an explosive device. Look, folks, at the risk of your displeasure, and I'm not going to read a chapter to you, if I tell you there's a chapter entitled Zero Military and Zero Intelligence in Government Zero, I wouldn't be lying to you. Zero leadership, zero strategy against ISIS, zero military. Let's see what else applies to this one. Well, zero science would apply. Where's the science in this statement? Zero liberty, zero police. Yeah, you get the picture. When you have a rogue government like this, run by a rogue president, and you have yes men and yes women doing anything he wants, why should I eat this story lock, stock, and barrel? Now, it could be that ISIS did it, but how long would it take? Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make a suggestion. I'm going to suggest something to my audience. Is there an air crash expert listening to this show from the NTSB, a former or retired NTSB employee listening to this program, who can call the Savage Nation? We'll get you priority listing. You come right on and can wear your shoes and go right through the security line, wearing your shoes, come right up to the desk. You get the microphone, come right up to the desk. Former or current NTSB official or someone familiar with airplane accidents, how long does it normally take to reconstruct an accident or an incident in this case, and come to some conclusion that has some validity? Now, what would they be looking for? If there was a bomb on the plane, wouldn't they find residue from the bomb? I mean, I would think, just from watching movies, I'm no expert. Wouldn't it leave some trace on something, a seat, on some luggage? Right? So where's the evidence of that? The official said there was a feeling it was an explosive device. What do you mean a feeling? Based on what? What, a Ouija board? Okay, Randall on WBAP. Who do you think brought the plane down, the Russian plane?
Yes, I've too many.
Shit. I don't take plug calls. That's all. Don't come on my show and talk about someone else's show just to get his name up in the air. If you work for the guy, good for you, but don't do it on my dollar. KSFO, Jeremy, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Line 7 is a dud, okay. We're going to take one more shot at it then, because we're going to go for one more. Judy? No, Mike on WVNN line 2, go ahead. Who do you think brought the plane down?
Hey, Michael. It was, it was a Starburst missile that traveled at Mark 4, and we were in a briefing last night, and the Russian...
Wait, hold it on. Wait, you back up a bit. Who was in a briefing last night?
I can't get into all that, but I can tell you.
All right, hold on. So you work in a government agency, and you believe it was what kind of missile brought it down?
British Starburst. It came through the Saudis when they were supplying ISIS. And it actually was launched, and the Russians have got the satellite feed. And they actually know pretty much and have tracked down what it is. They just aren't sure whether or not it was fired by the Saudis or ISIS. It's a Starburst missile. It travels at Mark 4.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Now, this, I can't confirm this because I don't know who you are, sir. But you're claiming that you have evidence that this is proven by whom?
It is. The Russians already know this, and Obama knows it too. And the defense.
So why is CNN putting out the false story that it was a bomb in luggage on the plane?
You nailed it. Because, well, first of all, they're going to try to beef up TSA, which is one of the things you can do. Say, oh my God, this could have gotten through TSA.
Oh God, no, not again! I got to put my shoes back off again. I take them off again.
You have no idea.
I'm saying, without giving away who you work for, you're saying it was a British Starburst missile shot by whom?
The Egyptians have two people in custody right now that they think were operators. And we can't get any more than that. Bye-bye.
Okay, so you got to hang up. Okay, I get it. Did he hang up already? That makes it very official when a guy calls with that and then hangs up. That really sounds official. That's like freakazoid reel. It's like a leak job on the show. Gave me a leaker. All right, so now let's put this together, folks. Let's think amongst ourselves. If, as the anonymous caller just suggested, the Russian jetliner was shot down by a British Starburst missile fired by someone in the desert, why would the British have wanted to shoot down a Russian jetliner with people on it? Why? What's in it for them? No, I don't think the British wanted to shoot the plane down, do you? So how did ISIS members get the missile? And why did they get the missile? And why would Saudi Arabia want to shoot down a Russian jetliner? What's in it for them? That doesn't make sense to me. I can't follow the dots on that one, right? Thomas, WJR, in Detroit?
Yeah. JR? My point I was making. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
My point is that you can shoot a slow, fat civilian airliner down with a shoulder-mounted missile. It's like a Stinger. Everybody's talking about, you know, the 26,000 feet. That's the maximum. That's the minimum.
Yeah, wait. The shoulder-fired missiles have an altitude max of what? 6,000 feet?
No. Like if you go to Wikipedia, it'll say 26,000. But that's in the combat conditions. For example, if you do the math, I know you're good at math. You know, it's got a 17-second burn, and it goes at Mach 2. That's like 1,800 miles an hour. So you got that fat jetliner coming in there. You know when it's going to come by. You sit under it, and you can plug it with a man-held SAM. So, you know.
Wait, hold. You can fire a missile from your shoulder that'll go up to 30,000 feet?
Oh, yeah. It's you got people on your staff. Just have them do the math, you know, a 17-second burn.
All right, hold on. I'm taking your theory now, and I'm saying, why is now the government reporting, our government, ISIS planted a bomb on the plane? Why are they saying that?
Well, I mean, they don't want people to know the range of these missiles. That could be one reason. In my opinion, Saudi Arabia is funding ISIS. I mean, it's Saudi Arabia against the world now because the Iranians are knocking on the door. The only thing, if you look at geography, I know you're good at geography. If you look at the geography, Iran is the only thing between Iran and Saudi Arabia is a little bit of sand there. You know, you have Basra, you have southern Iraq, but all.
Right, so you're saying it is Shia Iran versus Sunni Saudi Arabia, correct?
Right.
And now you're saying because Russia is backing the Shia in Iran, Saudi Arabia wanted to damage Russia?
Well, I mean, ISIS is the only thing that's keeping Saudi Arabia alive right now. You get rid of ISIS, and Iran is going to march right into Rashad and you know, just take it over. It's, you know, those are the royal family is going to be on a plane so quick.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you say. It's an interesting analysis here. But, I mean, the cover story, ISIS planted bomb on plane, I didn't accept it immediately. I mean, why should I accept that? They say they suspect, they think. But now you're saying something different. You're the second caller who says it could have been a shoulder-fired missile, correct?
Right. And, you know, when Libya went down, it was like a, you know, a shopping spree for anybody. You know, I mean, we got some stuff. The Islamists went in there and got some stuff. Everybody got stuff. And, you know, Stinger's a very fine missile. But, you know, the Saudi Arabians, they can order missiles from other places, too. And, you know, it's Sunni against Shia. Shia have no money. Except now that since they control most of Iraq, you know, they're getting a lot of that oil. And in Saudi Arabia, once, you know, Obama did that red line retreat, you know, Saudi Arabia saw that they could not rely on Uncle Sam anymore. And so, you know, how else does...
So hold it, my friend. What are you suspecting? I don't buy the cover story that I'm reading on CNN and everywhere else, ISIS planted a bomb on the plane. I would say that's pure propaganda. So why would our government put out that lie that ISIS put a bomb in luggage rather than say it was shot down by a missile? What do you really think is going on here?
I don't think that they want...
All right, you see what I'm doing here? Look what we're doing here. We're all guessing. We don't know. An investigation like this has to take months. And yet our government puts out a lie that it was a bomb in luggage. Why would Barry have instructed his minions to put this lie out? There's only one reason, in my opinion. And that's to embarrass Putin, his arch enemy in his mind, because he's a very insecure man. He was just downgraded from the most powerful man on earth to number three. Number one, Putin. Number two, Merkel. And number three, Obama. They said it's the first time in many, many decades that an American president is not in the top two. The man is in free fall in terms of his own self-ego. And I think he hates Putin so much that he's putting out this story in order to embarrass Putin. That's what I think is a theory here. Meaning, I didn't say that he had anything to do with the bombing. Don't get me wrong. He is putting out the lie that ISIS got to the Russian plane in order to weaken Putin amongst his own people, to be more specific. He wants him to be less popular amongst the Russian people and the world, to not be seen as a strong man who's in charge of everything. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. No, this is not in the book. It's a horrible story, by the way. You know, we shouldn't be so clinical about it. If you saw the pictures of the young families on vacation, the children, that whoever killed these people, they should be drawn and quartered in public on a pay-per-view channel. Whoever did this to that airliner should be drawn and quartered on pay-per-view, okay? At $100 a pop, I would sign up. Anyone out there who really knows the dynamics of such a situation? We had a bomber pilot just call. Is he gone? Yeah. We're all guessing. I know it'll take. Is there an NTSB guy out there who's called a Savage Nation who could give us some analysis? I had a bomber pilot who just called, and he said a shoulder-fired missile could not reach that plane. And that was my understanding last week. It could not reach that altitude, right? I mean, and that's what I read last week. It could not reach that altitude, you know? So what is this going to do to commercial aviation now, knowing that these Islamo-fascists are running around with some kind of missiles all over the world now, liable to shoot a plane down? I mean, what's this going to do now? Well, I guess they'll start profiling Irish grandmothers in wheelchairs in America. That's one way to stop it. Oh, yeah, you see an old woman, let's say, in a wheelchair with blonde hair and blue eyes, who speaks English, and she has a cane. That could be a shoulder-fired cane. And you may as well sort of take her into the back and do a strip search on her. But if someone comes in a robe speaking in Arabic, screaming death to America, put him right on with his shoes on. Because you don't want to be sued by the Council on American-Islamic Race Relations. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. From coast to coast, conservative won one election after another, and we're going to talk about that because the criminal government that we have, the government that Obama runs, and he says anyone who disagrees with him is a part of the small, disgruntled group. Well, the small disgruntled groups voted across the country yesterday, and every conservative measure won, and every wackadoodle left-wing issue lost, whether it was putting men in women's restrooms, as the crazy mayor of Houston wanted to do, or medical marijuana. People shot it down because they know it's destroying the children. People are not stupid. Huge election wins across the country amid voter sentiment fueled by Barack Obama's radical, insane, left-wing, weakling politics. Voters in Kentucky, Virginia, Ohio, Mississippi, Houston, San Francisco rejected Democratic candidates or Democrat-backed measures. And I want to focus on one easy one. The lunatic sheriff in San Francisco lost his reelection bid like 60 to 30, 68 to 32, whatever the number was. And what's interesting to me is that the Zero newspaper in San Francisco, the laughingstock that is called Willie Brown's mimeograph newspaper, because whatever he wants to mimeograph, they print, did not even mention that this idiot sheriff lost because he released a dangerous illegal alien on the street who then shot Kate Steinle and killed her in cold blood. They used every other reason as to why they threw this idiot sheriff out. Shame on you, San Francisco Chronicle. You used to be a decent newspaper. You've reduced yourself to toilet paper. You ought to be used to clean up the streets rather than to pollute the mine. Now let's go to the big scores across the country, and let's look at Kentucky. This is a huge story for two reasons. Republican victories have left the Democrats in Kentucky reeling. Now, people don't know why it happened. I know why it happened, and you haven't heard it on Rush Limbaugh yet. Nothing against Rush, but I know you didn't hear it yet. The reason Kentucky kicked the Democrats out is because of a two-word issue. Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell stabbed the voters of Kentucky in the back. He's a useless idiot. He's a lackey of Obama. And the people of Kentucky, even the Democrats, said anything but the Democrat Party. Disaster for them on Tuesday. Disaster. They lost four of the five statewide constitutional offices they held coming into the election, including the governor's office for only the second time since 1971. Now, that is because Mitch McConnell is a backstabbing SOB, and so people went to the polls who are normally Democrats in Kentucky, and they said, anyone but a Democrat. But there's a real beautiful story in here, and that is not only Bevin as the new governor, who is a neophyte. He was a long shot to win, and he's the state's first governor from Louisville in a century. But the real story is his running mate, Lieutenant Governor-elect Jeanine Hampton. She is the first black person to ever hold statewide office in Kentucky's 223-year history. Did you hear that story? It didn't make it to your local newspaper? Oh, yeah, she's a Republican, by the way. Oh, she's a Republican, by the way. And what a background she has. If you look into her background, you'll be very proud to see. She served years in the Air Force. She is a Christian. She is a very strong conservative. And more than that, she is a good woman and a smart woman. So big Republican victories in Kentucky. Ohio rejected legal pot, which is a huge victory for sanity and a huge loss for George Soros, who has tried for years to poison the minds of America and the West. Future of marijuana in Ohio, as you know, is very clear. Legalized cannabis for medical and recreational use got knocked down, and it was a ballot initiative. What's interesting about this is a twofold interest to me. It seems to me that state and local elections run on one day, not on 30 or 40 or 50 days or 3 months, where illegal aliens get to vote as many times as they can, where criminals vote, where people vote numerous times. The national elections are so corrupt, they're useless. They're virtually useless. Barry has busted the federal election process to a point of no return. But on a state level, where people get to vote one day and that's it, we get clearer results. And the results are quite clear. And that is that the Democrats are going to be thrown out in 2016. It's as clear as a bell. Unless you don't vote. Or unless they steal the election again by having it counted by one of the machines in, I think it was Spain. So here we are. Those are the big stories. Here are some others. I have the summary right here on the old Savage Nation. San Francisco sheriff known for sanctuary city defense loses reelection. From coast to coast, conservatives score huge victories in off-year elections. I just told you about some of them. Latino kids blast Donald Trump, and they use dirty, filthy words. And they certainly want amnesty. And this is exactly why we can't have amnesty. Because for these low-life boys and girls to be shouting words like MF and F and D, as well as Spanish profanity, shows us why they don't belong in the country to begin with. They're going to go back to where they came from. Google.org gives $2.35 million to groups fighting for racial justice. We know what groups fighting for racial justice mean, don't you? Usually gangbangers in organizations that are opposed to police trying to control crime. But that didn't stop Google.org from paying them off, so they don't start asking about why doesn't Google pay their fair share of taxes instead of using a triple Irish and the triple Dutch methodology to avoid paying their fair share of taxes. It's the oldest game in the world, which is these liberal organizations like Google, Microsoft, fund these radical left-wing groups, street radicals like this, in order to keep them from asking, hey, wait a minute, do you pay your fair share of taxes? The answer is no, they do not. In Afghanistan, imams are risking their lives to preach birth control in mosques. I didn't know they taught birth control in mosques. That's very interesting. I had no idea. Huh, birth control in mosques. Well, I guess that's one of the reasons men have lost their legs and their lives, is so that we can teach birth control in mosques in Afghanistan. That's a good use of American troops to encourage this kind of thing in Afghanistan. Gay marriage has opened Pandora's box. Couple seeks right to marry. They hitch their legally father and son. That shouldn't stop them. Sexual abuse of boys. Afghanistan. Sexual abuse of boys has been resurrected after the United States toppled the Taliban. Did you know that? It's a common practice in Afghanistan for men to rape young boys. But strangely enough, raping young boys by grown men was punishable by death under Taliban rule. But after the terrorist group was overthrown by the U.S.-led invasion, the powerful, loser, degenerate perverts in Afghanistan are now raping boys again. And when our troops punched one of them in the mouth, he was thrown out of the military under Barry from Honolulu. Next story from Breitbart. Michelle Obama urges women to join the workforce instead of staying at home. That's interesting. She went to Qatar. I still can't pronounce that country. It's Qatar, it's Qatar, it's Qatar, it's gutter. She went to Qatar in the Middle East, and First Lady Michelle Obama, I guess, needed another vacation. I guess it's getting cold in Washington. And she challenged more women in Qatar to reach their full potential of getting jobs instead of simply getting married and staying at home with the children. Well, I have a lot to say on that, but it's a family show. From BuzzPo, thousands of soldiers with disabilities were kicked out of the Army. Okay. From USA Today, a very reliable newspaper, study may have found evidence of alternate parallel universes. Well, I don't need a study to tell us there's a parallel universe. It's called liberals. They live in a parallel universe. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number, 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOI. We have only 2 minutes left. We have one caller right now who's speculating on who shot down that Russian airliner. I reject categorically the lie coming out of CNN via the Defense Department because of the way it's couched. Bert on KKAT in Utah, what's your opinion? What happened to that Russian jetliner?
Hey, Michael, how you doing? You know, it's already been established that it was an outside influence. I mean, it's an absolute fabrication that it was anything from the inside. But what the gentleman that called earlier was talking about the British missile, that's a Mach 4 missile. And based on... I had a high-level clearance at the DOD years ago, and based on what I have seen in the past, I'm speculating that it was either an American force or an American ally force that wanted to make a statement against Putin. Putin has embarrassed this administration so badly, and he is such a chicken excrement. Obama would not do it face-to-face. if that British missile, it's a Mach 4 missile, could easily be fired out of Saudi Arabia to take down that jet. And I could totally.
So you concur? Well, I don't know who did it, but I concur that it's a propaganda. In either case, whether we actively did this or not, this is propaganda being put out by Obama to embarrass Putin. I think we can agree on that, correct?
Absolutely. It was not.
Yeah, because Obama is such a weak individual internally and externally that he would do anything to embarrass Putin. Now, I didn't say he would order that the plane be shot down, but he's putting out the lie that it was a bomb in the luggage in order to make Putin look less manly. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero, my friends. Thank you for making it number 3. New York Times bestseller list. That's a huge victory, given that I am blacklisted by Fox News and every other outlet in America. Please go out and buy another book for a friend to keep sending the message that we've got to take our government back. Thank you, and good night.